My guest at this time is Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform. We want to get his thoughts as Congress is now just a few weeks away from returning from summer recess and most likely once again taking up immigration reform legislation. For the most part, we're now waiting on the House side to see what, if anything, they end up passing and if that will end up being reconciled with the Senate bill, which passed earlier this year. Mr. Norquist's organization is in favor of comprehensive immigration reform legislation. And, sir, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
Just to set the stage for our listeners, what do you want to see in the bill? How satisfied are you with the Senate bill? And if you were to make any changes to it, what would they be?
Well, we need to have several things. One, we need to have an immigration policy that allows us to bring a lot more talent to the United States than the present one. The so-called H-1B visas, or visas for people with high skills, should be dramatically increased. We should have quite a number of people who bring talent and skills to the United States and allow them to stay and work. Our STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, those various disciplines in school, you come over, you go to MIT or Caltech from some other country, and we give you, well, we don't give you, we sell you a great education, and then we toss you out of the country and say, go back to India or China or some other country and start a technology company and compete with the United States. Why not let people stay here and work if they'd like to and eventually become citizens? We should be doing a great deal more of that. It's what built the country in the first place. And that includes people who want to come and work in the farm industry. We have a shortage of people willing to work in farming. We have crops rotting in the fields in those states where they decided they didn't like immigrants coming in and working in farms. And we're better off with more Americans rather than fewer Americans. It's why the United States is stronger than other countries. That's why we're bigger than other countries. Japan is going to be shrinking in population. The United States is growing. China is beginning to shrink in terms of the number of working age people they have, and ultimately in the total number of people in China. They can't do immigration for cultural reasons. People can't move to China from other countries or Japan or even in a lot of the European countries. They don't do immigration very well. For all our whining about it, we do immigration better than everybody else. It's what makes us unique, different, stronger than other people. And we should continue that process, which has made us the most powerful and wealthiest nation in the world. And you wouldn't want to, you know, should we be pro-immigrant? You know, should McDonald's make hamburgers? Yes.
We're talking with Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform. And Grover, you mentioned two different types of immigrants. They're ones that come for a high-quality education and others who have come across illegally, perhaps, and do not come with the greatest of educational backgrounds. A recent Heritage Foundation study suggested that we're looking at a $6.3 trillion loss when you consider tax consumers versus tax contributors based on an 11 million number in terms of those currently illegally here. So they say this is a net negative for the economy. Why do you believe it's a net positive?
Well, because even the Heritage authors of that piece admit that it's not at all what you just said it was. Although there's a reason why you said it, because they hint that it's that. More than half of the quote-unquote, there's a 50-year cost. We're used to having 10-year costs when we talk about the cost of a government program or the cost taxes. They did 50 years. Why? Because for the next 20 years, it's a net positive. And they, what they have to do is turn around and say, people who are here, they also count people who are here legally, who are the children of somebody who came here illegally, who, by the way, are going to be here whether or not we pass immigration reform or not, those children. And they take those costs and call that a cost of immigration reform. In fact, most of the costs referred to in the Heritage study are fixed costs, have nothing to do with the immigration bill, and it's an embarrassment that Heritage did what they did in putting the bill out. One, as you know, one of the authors of the bill had to resign from Heritage because of the problems there. So the numbers, the fact that they had to make phony numbers to make the case against immigration lets you know how powerful the case for it is. The Congressional Budget Office did real numbers and came up with, over the next 20 years, strong positive economic growth. We've seen the former head of the Congressional Budget Office, Holtz Eakin, did his own analysis, which argues that it would be a dramatic increase, both in terms of revenue from higher taxes of more people working, way more than any government spending. And it just makes sense. If you're going to grow at 3% a year instead of 2% a year, that adds $2.5 trillion in revenue to the U.S. government over the course of 10 years. $2.5 trillion by growing at 3% rather than 2%, by having a more robust immigration policy, by having allowing people to move from job to job. When we had a real amnesty, not with what they're talking about here, but when they just actually had amnesty under Reagan, the people who were allowed to stay and were told, you've been here a long time, you can now stay, increased their pay 15%. Why? Because now they could move from job to job easily. Now they didn't have to fear every time they did an interview with a new company or person that they were going to go work with that they'd get deported. So you saw a tremendous jump in the productivity of people because they didn't have to fear INS. So the good news is, I mean, the people who built this country didn't come here with high school educations. My relatives didn't have high school educations when they came to this country. I mean, people should think of their own history. And the idea and the heritage, quote-unquote, study assumes that every person who comes here and started as at a low-paying job would always have a low-paying job, and their children would, and their grandchildren would. I mean, that's kind of silly.
Grover, how important is the border security component to this? In other words, do we need to verify that the border is secure for this to work in perpetuity economically, or could we afford to do it again in another 30 years like we're trying to do this time?
Well, the reason why we have, you know, 11 million people who came over illegally is that after the 86 reform, during the 86 reform, the labor unions gutted the guest worker program. When we had a guest worker program under Eisenhower, we went from arresting, you know, almost a million people at the border to arresting 40,000 people at the border. Why? Because people who wanted to come here and work signed up, people with jobs said okay, and they came over, they'd work, they'd go home, they'd work, they'd go home. People didn't come over and stay or hide out because they knew they could go back and forth across the border to work and head back home. When the labor unions convinced Kennedy and then Lyndon Baines Johnson to kill the guest worker program because the labor unions didn't like it, you went back to arresting a million people at the border, and people didn't go back and forth and go home. They came up and stayed. So the whole illegal immigration effort is because we didn't have a guest worker program. The most important way to have a secure border is to have a robust guest worker program so that everybody walks through the doors, not tries to crawl over the fence. And we should have strong border security. I think that's useful and helpful. But 90% of that is a serious guest worker program. And one of the problems and disappointments with the Senate bill, because it was Senate still has too many Democrats in it, is that they bowed too much over towards the labor unions, and they have a weak guest worker program. Republicans in the House are looking to strengthen that.
Two very quick questions before we let you go. Grover, obviously there's a lot of folks, I'm guessing you're one of them, is concerned about how the president is deciding certain parts of the health care law are not going to be implemented at this time. He's delaying several components for at least a time. Some fear that if the president believes he has that authority on health care, he can do the same thing, pick and choose what he wants in this bill. How worried are you about whatever gets passed, if anything gets passed, that he'll kind of amend on his own?
Well, that cuts both ways. This amend the law that we're talking about passing, something like the Senate bill or the House Republicans and Democrats have a similar bill. If we don't pass those laws strengthening the border and making some of the other reforms, this president, could sit and decide not to enforce the laws that we do have now. That's a separate challenge, a president who doesn't follow the rule of law. Hopefully that's a changed issue in 3 years.
And very quickly, what ultimately do you think will happen this fall in Congress?
I think this fall or early next spring you're going to see a bill which reforms immigration, which tightens the border, which has more serious border security, not as expensive as the Senate version, but more secure, and a robust guest worker program where we can have both folks in the farming industry as well as the high-tech industry able to come and work here as the economy and the growth of the economy allows.
We'll be watching. Grover, thank you very much for your time today.
You got it.
Grover Norquist, President of Americans for Tax Reform. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.